The state of Hawaii already spends millions of dollars dealing with the impacts from invasive species. Most of the money is spent on containment and remediation after an alien species has already established itself. But the focus is now shifting to preventing invasives from getting a foothold in the first place.
We regulate everything from an amoeba to a zebra. That's the easiest way to remember it. So everything that is alive, we regulate.
That was Jonathan Ho with the Hawaii Department of Agriculture. He says every plant, animal, or soil culture is pre-classified into a risk category. Permits to import restricted species are granted based on the risk factor and the intended use. Any plant or animal that hasn't been categorized is automatically held for evaluation. One of the most popular imported items are Christmas trees. Making sure those trees come in clean takes cooperation among three state governments.
It's between Hawaii Department of Agriculture and Washington State's Department of Agriculture and then Oregon's Department of Agriculture. So we get all of our Christmas trees from those two states. So we have a compliance agreement with these two other departments of ag who then implement it with their growers. There's very specific best management practices and phytosanitary requirements for each of the Christmas tree shipments that are imported into the state. This is kind of a result of, in 2012, we had 240 containers imported that year. 93 of them were held for pests or paperwork problems. So about 61% of the trees pass on the first grow. The other, so 71 basically, we either sent them back or were treated in the state. This year, we had 185 containers imported, two were held for treatment. Hawaii is set up very well for this agreement in that the trees are essentially brought in from, there's basically only four growers. And each of those growers supply each of the big box stores, Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot. So what happens is those growers basically have to do, if they want their Home Depot, they have to do the best management practices for Hawaii. But what's happened is all the best management practices, they've realized that doing it makes a better product for them. So like a lot of these guys, they do it for all their trees now. They don't do it just for Hawaii. They used to just do all, the Hawaii is, you know, our small thing, we gotta do extra work for them. Now they just do it for all their trees. So now they're just, all their trees are real clean now. Every year since 2012, the percentage of rejections went down by half. 93, 63, 30, 12, well actually 12 and they went to like 9 and then it went to 6.
The state of Hawaii handles anything coming from another part of the United States, but foreign arrivals are the responsibility of the federal government. Vernon Harrington is with the local office of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. USDA's budget for biosecurity comes from a high-profile bill that is always a political football.
Right now, the farm bill is about $2.5 million, and that goes to things like the coconut rhinoceros beetle here in Hawaii and also supporting the program in Guam.
USDA works with other federal agencies to make sure foreign imports and U.S. exports are safe.
Basically, when Customs and Border Protection finds things in their imports, we do the ID, and Customs is really enforcing our regulations. But for live plants and plants for planting, it comes directly to our plant inspection station. We do actually do conduct fruit fly trapping because we have treatments, you know, we have irradiation, we have vapor heat treatment, we have different treatments so commodities can go out to either foreign or domestic, our trading partners. And if another fruit fly, species of fruit fly got in, that could, you know, that could cause problems with our export. So we actually do this monitoring and we work closely and looking at and working with the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, because if we do find something new, then we can take immediate action and do additional trapping, delimit and try and find out, you know, if that is a problem, if we can treat it.
Regulators successfully catch many invasives before they arrive, but they're constantly having to adapt. Christy Martin does outreach on alien species control for the University of Hawaii.
One quarter of these new species that are coming in are going to be things that are traveling on pathways that we're not used to. It's a consequence of expanding trade networks, trade areas, as well as the impacts from environmental change. About 10 to 20% of those species that are introduced outside their native range then become invasive. So we know a lot about what we know. We know a lot about pathways, but there's also this big component of things that we don't know.
One of those pathways we don't know so much about happens on board shipping vessels. It's called biofouling. Jules Kuo oversees a biofouling program for the Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Vessel biofouling is the attachment of organisms to the submerged areas of the ship.
UH researcher Christy Martin says those species hitching a ride on ships also carry a cost.
So vessel biofouling, again, is the species that grow and are transported on hulls, and it is largely unregulated in the U.S., in fact, in a lot of places in the world. When vessels need to be able to clean underwater, those species can be released and can start growing. And so it's a high risk for some vessels, if they're clean in our waters, to be able to just drop those species off, and they'll take off and start a new population. There's been a recent federal rule change with the Coast Guard Authorization Act that means that the way federal agencies manage and regulate discharges from vessels, including that hull fouling cleaning, is going to change. And so we have a four-year window, critical window, for states, all of us, to work together with EPA and U.S. Coast Guard to be able to develop new rules and regulations to manage vessel biofouling and in-water cleaning. Cleaner vessels will have fewer emissions, they'll have greater fuel efficiency. So this is one of those things that's, you know, more than a triple win if we can do it right.
Hawaii receives around 1,000 incoming ocean vessels every year, so biofouling is a major concern for invasive species experts. In fact, DLNR's Jules Kuo says ships are the main source for invasives coming to Hawaii.
The top two vectors of aquatic non-indigenous species transfer into the state are vessel biofouling and ballast water discharge.
Ships can bring entire ecosystems with them. Tangles of kelp, hulls covered in barnacles, and ballast tanks filled with microscopic waterborne creatures. Procedures are currently in place to manage the discharge of that ballast water.
Ballast water is the water that's picked up in a location, in a harbor, most likely to stabilize a vessel's transit, especially if it's carrying cargo, over to another location. For example, if a vessel is coming from China and it's got not that much cargo on it, it's going to pick up ballast water, stabilize its center of gravity, and then if they don't manage the ballast water with some kind of treatment system like chlorine or UV, and they discharge the ballast water in our state, then we have the potential of receiving these propagules, these babies, of invasive species. So we right now have ballast water regulations, which requires vessels to report their ballast water information. They have to tell us where they've picked up their ballast water, what they treated it with, if they manage their ballast water, how much they're discharging, to basically allow us to assess the risk of that vessel coming in. And so if we're concerned, then we can go and address it, because we don't have enough capacity to assess all 1,000 vessels coming in. So right now we board with the U.S. Coast Guard. We work very well as a team. And what we do is we verify the reporting forms, and we also take samples and then enumerate the viability or the concentration of organisms that are in that ballast water. For biofouling rules, we hope to do the same thing. We don't have rules yet, but we're developing them and hoping to implement them very soon, because that's our top vector of introduction.
Hawaii is not alone in the lack of biofouling regulation. As we heard earlier, that is the case in most of the country. Addressing biofouling will be particularly challenging because the inspection process is slow and resource-intensive, often requiring scuba divers, underwater drones, or putting a ship in dry dock. That lack of regulation may be why biofouling is the top vector for incoming invasive species. I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.